club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, it's the confirmation we've been waiting for, MG. The Dolphins are officially the 17th franchise in the NRL set to enter the competition in 2023.
Yeah, Mr. Abdo, our general manager of the NRL, came out today and announced that, and it's great news. It's fantastic news when it's like the birth of a new baby. When a new club is spawned, it's fantastic when all those clubs that have started in the NRL, the last one was the Titans back in 2007.
Yeah.
We haven't had a club in 14 years, so it's fantastic. It's fantastic to be part of it. It makes everything kind of gets really exciting again for this new franchise.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to talk more about it.
Yeah, well, we are going to talk more about it. Gordon Tallis is going to join us because if we want to talk rugby league in the city of Brisbane, that is the man you turn to. We'll get his thoughts on the club, maybe who they should be chasing as their first big signing. You've gone to an unusual source for your power rankings today.
Yeah, I'm big on LinkedIn, okay? I'm pretty big on LinkedIn. And one of my connections...
He's not kidding. He is serious big on LinkedIn.
One of my connections is the Australian cricket coach.
Right, okay.
Justin Langer. And something he's posted may have been worthy of discussion today on the show.
All right, that's going to come up. And we are going to get friend of the show, Emma Friedman, Racing Royalty. She's going to join us to discuss this weekend's Everest taking place at Royal Randwick. But first...
What's cracking?
Today is an exciting day for rugby league, an historic day for rugby league. Earlier this morning, the commission approved the expansion to 17 teams in the NRL Telstra Premiership and the addition of the Dolphins as the 17th club in the NRL franchises.
There it is, MG. In 2023, the NRL will be a 17-team competition.
Yeah, very exciting. How exciting. Fantastic. I like the fact that, you know, basically they're following the trend of worldwide sports franchises, just basically saying the nickname of the franchise. We've got the Panthers, we've got the Dolphins, we've got the Roosters, we've got the Bulldogs, we've got the Sixers. You know, it's very rarely do you mention the place they're from. They get really known for their emblem, their mascot.
Yeah.
And this is a fantastic mascot. This is a fantastic day in rugby league when we can celebrate having another team being spawned into the NRL. This is a club that was formed back in 1947, the same year Parramatta and Manly were both created. So they have a lot of history. Arthur Beetson played there. They've got some superstars who have come out of Redcliffe, and I just think it's a fantastic day to be a rugby league fan and a rugby league member of the fraternity.
Gordon Tallis is going to join us very shortly to give us that real insight into what this is going to mean for the game in Queensland and more specifically Brisbane. But you mentioned the name. Now, the statement that was released by the NRL, and you just heard Andrew Abdo speaking there, it is the Dolphins. This whole way through, we're known as the Redcliffe Dolphins, but the announcement today, Andrew Abdo was very clear about what the name of this new team will be.
Redcliffe is no longer their name. The name is the Dolphins. I mean, they are quite deliberately calling themselves the Dolphins. This is about owning not just Brisbane and having a second Brisbane team, but owning the North as well.
And that, to me, MG, speaks volumes about the NRL's intention for the game and the code and the region. They want the Dolphins to be able to spread as far north as possible.
Yeah, they do, and I think they will. In the last 6 months, look, rugby league in Queensland has flourished. It's blossomed. Ever since they've saved the game, and we've played all our games up there, we've seen clubs basically say, well, you know, look at this up here. It's the middle of winter, and it's 24 degrees. That'll be a lure for players because they've walked a mile in the shoes of what they're going to encounter if they do go to this club. And I tell you what, there'll be some player managers who'll be on the phone right now trying to get their player up there.
Well, back page of the paper today, the Daily Telegraph here in Sydney, there's a photo of Caelan Ponga and Reid Marnie and Brandon Smith. It suggests that both Reid Marnie's manager and Brandon Smith's manager and Anthony Milford's manager have already said that they'd be open to offers. And we mentioned Reid Marnie on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Young hooker, just coming into his own, clearly going to be a part of Queensland's State of Origin future as well.
Mm.
Open the checkbook. Dolphins.
Well, look, a plethora, mate. Honestly, this is exciting. This is really exciting, and I'm going to really be interested to see what Gordy has to say about it because you mentioned it at the start of the show that he is Brisbane. You know, he had to basically move out of Brisbane to go at the Dragons to get a spot because he's a late bloomer. So now it gives another these young kids who all move to Sydney to play NRL, that gives them another opportunity to stay at home and play for their home in their home state, which is fantastic.
Yeah, a very exciting announcement today, confirmation that as of 2023, the Dolphins will be joining the NRL. It has some impacts on the season as well. It will be a 26-round competition. All teams will still play 24 games. They'll all have two byes in the season now. It does up the overall number of games in the season from 192 to 204, which...
Oh, broadcasters love.
Broadcasters will love. There's more games. And then inevitably, this will lead to conversations about an 18th team.
Of course.
Which, and look, I'm gonna rapid fire some questions at you here. Who's the coach of the Dolphins?
Wayne Bennett.
Who's their first signing?
They're going to try and get Harry Grant, I reckon.
Okay, where's the 18th team going to be based?
I think Brisbane again, but I wish it was Perth.
Okay. Apparently, Brendo from Workday here, Brendo, everybody knows Brendo, tells me that the colours are going to go by the wayside for the Dolphins as well. They're currently in their heritage colours.
Bit of Origin blues, aren't
they? Well, they're red and white, apparently.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I would like to know what colour opportunities are there for the Dolphins?
Well, Dolphin, I think straight away the ocean. I think of blue. So it's got to be predominantly blue.
What do you think blue? Probably going to be a dark blue because you've got the Titans with that...
Ocean you've got the Sharks, you've got the Titans, you've got the Sharks. I think a dark blue. The Bulldogs are a dark kind of blue with white, maybe a dark blue with black.
What about a bit of brown to reflect the Brisbane River? Just a bit of murky.
Well, then you've got the chocolate soldiers involved.
Oh, no.
So don't start me on that.
Well, this is, okay, we might have to do some work on this. We might come up with some options.
We can put it on our social media pages. What should the jersey for the Dolphins look like?
I would suggest it's dangerous to get New South Wales people to suggest colours for a new Brisbane team. I think we might up with some things that we can't share on social media there. So, hey, let's go to Brisbane. We've talked about logistics. We've talked about the players they should be targeting and all the rest of it. But we need a greater understanding of what this is going to mean for the city of Brisbane.
Well, it's massive for the game. It's so, so good. I love expansion. Everyone says, oh, we haven't got enough players. Well, you know what? We find players. Mm. Young kids, they sprout and they say, I want to play for that team. And now that we've got another one, I think it's inevitable we get 18, but when we talk about Brisbane and Queensland, we go to one of our favourite sons, the Raging Bull, Gordy Tallis. Gordy, big, big announcement, mate. Massive news for the rugby league in Queensland.
Yeah, look, it's huge. Yeah, there was talk for a while and, you know, whether they relocate or whatever, but now the decision's been made, I think we've got on with it. I love it that it's the Dolphins. In our Queensland competition, the Dolphins have been a powerhouse for a long, long time. They've been affiliated with many Sydney teams. The Roosters were the one. The great Arthur Beetson played for them, Wally Fulton-Smith, Mark Murray. There's been so many guys that have worn that jersey and now they get a chance to, you know, cut out a future in the NRL. And like when people talk about it, so just for the Sydney people, it's 45 minutes from my house. So it's heading, you know, so like it's right out on the peninsula. For you guys, it's probably like Manly, like it's as far as you can go for Manly. So, okay. So like pretty much it's our Manly. If you're looking at Sydney geographically, and Brisbane would be South Sydney, right in the middle of the city. And obviously, you know, now we've got one down one coast, and you go up the other coast, which is the Gold Coast Titans. So now we've got three teams within about 200 kilometres of each other, which is, you know, pretty good for Queenslanders.
Not only are you an ex-fantastic rugby league player, but you are a geographical expert as well. I was going to ask that question because I think it's a big question. I wanted to know exactly for us Sydney-siders, us New South Welshmen, exactly where Redcliffe was and what kind of reputation it has. You answered the question that I was going to ask earlier. Who are the famous players that come out of there? Artie Beetson come out of there, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm Artie Beetson, Wally Fulton-Smith, who you'd know. Cherry Evans. So Cherry Evans is... family name, they played for Redcliffe, so the Cherries and the Evans.
Oh, you know,
it's certainly been a powerhouse up here.
Oh, I wonder if Redcliffe or the Dolphins might be able to twist the arm of Daly Cherry Evans to maybe...
Well, that's the question. You know. I mean, now that we hear that Wayne Bennett is going to be coach of them, and that's a fait accompli, we're not kind of calibre of player Gordy Hill attract. Obviously, he can take his pick.
Yeah. Oh, look, absolutely. And do you know the benefit for the Dolphins is... they're going to play a lot of their games, obviously, at Suncorp Stadium. They're going to play a few at their home, Moreton Daly, and they're going to play a few up the sunny coast. Well, where have the players been situated in the last, you know, 9 months?
Yeah.
Up in Queensland, beautiful weather. You know, I think back in the day it might have been a hard sell because Sydney's the big hub, but after those guys coming up here training in 20 degrees, you know, playing a game, and I reckon a lot of them had their families here, and maybe a few few NRL players have fallen in love with Queensland, and it could be easy to entice players up here. But there's no doubt that they have to go for a big Queenslander. And, you know, obviously before what had happened in the past, I think Munster would have been on the radar, Kalen Ponga would have been on the radar, Harry Grant, Cherry Evans would probably be there as well. But there's no doubt that they'll try to bring a couple of big Queenslander names home.
Who would be the top of your list, Gordy? Who, like,
it's got to be someone that touches the ball. It's got to be someone that you can hang your hat on, and it's a club. And I think Harry Grant, he's well spoken. You know, someone that the kids love as well, but can do the job on the footy field. And I think that, you know, now I think Harry Grant is someone that every club would want. You know, and I think you can build your club around someone like Harry.
So, Gordy, tell me how the conversation's going to be with your youngest when he decides, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to be a Dolphin supporter." Are we on board with this?
No, what about when he's 17 or 18? He's about to play footy in Brisbane. He's got like three clubs after him. Who's he going to?
Well, I had to go to Sydney, right? And there were so many Queensland kids in the parking lot waiting to play for the Broncos, right? So they would have had 10 Gordon Tallises waiting there, right? So I had to bypass that to go to Sydney to get my chance. Well, then the North Queensland Cowboys come in. So Matt Bowen might never have had an NRL career without the North Queensland Cowboys coming in. And it's got the Gold Coast Titans with AJ Brimson. And now with the Dolphins, you know, like Cody Walker was playing Queensland Cup until he was 20, 25 or 26. And he nearly won an NRL Grand Final. So there's those players that are on the heap. And, you know, someone like myself, and I never played for Queensland, and normally you've got to play in those rep sides to get picked. So there's that kid like myself that playing that, but just isn't quite a star, but matures a little bit later, that his NRL career is still hanging by a thread, and maybe the Dolphins can give him a lifeline. So I think it's fantastic. There's 30 new jobs in the game, and there's 30 new kids that are going to get their opportunity to come and play NRL footy, and that's the bonus that I see.
I love it. I can see Gordon.
Fantastic.
Gordon Tallis, the Dolphins ambassador 2024.
No, the Titans, mate. Listen, mate.
Titans, mate.
Listen, Liam, don't put words into my mouth, mate. Mate, we are Titans. We are Titans, Liam.
We are Titans.
Mate, don't want you going anywhere. Absolutely.
We are Titans.
There you go. Gordon Tallis, a pleasure to have you on to get your insight into this big news. The Dolphins, officially the seventh team in the NRL. Gordy, enjoy your day.
Pleasure, boys.
Emma Friedman's going to join us shortly to talk through this weekend's Everest at Royal Randwick. But MG, did you stay up and watch the Socceroos last night on Channel 10?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was gripping. Unfortunately, number 12 in a row didn't eventuate.
Yeah, the winning streak came to an end. 11 successive wins going into last night's game against Japan in Japan, a place where we've never won, the Socceroos, and in the 69th minute.
Yeah.
Here's Asano. He's on sides. And Matt Ryan can't keep it out. It's bundled in at the back post. Asano takes the credit. Furuhashimoto got the final touch. But what is certain is that Japan have their lead back at 2-1.
That was actually the own goal in the 86th minute. That was the Japan's winner, an own goal from Aziz Behic, which was, he had a tough old night at the office.
He did.
But still, I really enjoyed the game, and I thought the Socceroos, particularly in that second half, played outstandingly well.
You know what? It's a game you've got to watch, even if you're not a full-on, inverted commas, soccer or football follower. When our national team plays, you've got to watch it when you can. And in this streak that they've had, a lot of the games have been at ungodly hours, you know, 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning. But this was viewer-friendly, so I think it would have got a lot of eyes on it last night.
What I will say to people out there thinking, what does this mean for our World Cup qualifying hopes? We are still sitting pretty, right? We are still, the way the system works at this stage of the qualifying process, top two automatically get into the World Cup. Australia still comfortably sits inside that top two. We're 3 points clear of Japan, who are third. Yep. And here's the other part. Of all our qualifying games we've played so far, we haven't played a single one at home. We've been on the road for all
of
them.
Yeah.
And that's the hump. That Japan game last night was the hump. So we are still very nicely positioned to get to Qatar 2022. So Chinnut, Graham, Arnie and the boys.
Well, Simon Hill was right. He picked it. He said 2-1, just the wrong team.
Thanks for nothing, Simon. Going to speak to Emma Friedman about this weekend's Everest race very shortly. Very exciting.
Can't wait.
For her to give us a full rundown of the favourites and where there might be some value. But if you are thinking about having a bet on the Everest this weekend, do it with BlueBet. And the best thing about BlueBet...
Don't tell me they're offering a same race multi.
Whether it's cross sport, same game, or same race multis, you can bet with BlueBet.
It's my favourite way to punt.
You love to have a punt as a multi. BlueBet
it gives you more options.
The true blue Aussie bookie. If you are having a bet, remember to do so responsibly. Now, MG, social media. We live in a strange world of social
media. We do.
But this is the weirdest social media for mine that you're obsessed with.
Well, I'm big on LinkedIn. Yes. Okay? I'm pretty big. I'm someone big on LinkedIn. I mightn't be, you know, have the followers on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, but on LinkedIn, I'm big. They call me Big MG. And I'm connected.
No, on LinkedIn, you'd be Mark Geyer. You wouldn't.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's very official.
Yeah. And Mark Geyer, AOM.
OAM, yes.
OAM, sorry.
And OAM. And I'm connected to someone that's pretty famous.
Right.
He happens to be the Australian cricket coach.
Justin Langer, of course, head coach of the Australian cricket team.
Yeah, JL. And I've given you a bit of paper there that I just printed out before the show today. And I just wanted you to read a little bit of an extract from JL's recent LinkedIn post, you will, please.
So JL shared an update. And I will say, Justin Langer is the sort of...
This was very long.
Is the sort of bloke I would expect on LinkedIn. You not so much, again.
No, I just like all types of, you know.
So JL has posted on his LinkedIn page, and it is a long... I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read you a second. Starts off with...
Paraphrase.
A wise man once said, "Don't give them a taste of your own medicine. If they lied, let their medicine be honesty. If they played with your emotions, let your medicine be maturity. If they broke you, let your medicine heal you." He has lost me already.
I don't know what he was saying.
If they made you cry, let your medicine make them smile. These remedies of yours may take years. All right.
Can you read the last couple of paragraphs?
I think the crux of his message is delivered at the end. The wise man says, "Be yourself. You are unique and you are special. Be happy, be healthy, be calm, be strong, and be yourself."
Well... JL, he's a weird cat, but he's my connected cat on LinkedIn. So he has inspired me for today's power rankings. In fact, so inspired I am that I am by JL's. I'm getting down to my Reggie's. Yeah, board shorts off, singlet off. Let's go.
All right. Langer inspired power rankings. What's the filter then?
The filter is the most inspiring teammates/coaches that I encountered over my, I'm not going to say illustrious, but my long career as a rugby league player.
All right. 5.
Spud Carroll. We pushed each other as teenagers to be better players, and we both realised our childhood dreams of going on a kangaroo tour together, which was fantastic. Smash and Crash, they called us. I played a lot against Spud as teenagers. We were both 5'8". I was for St Mary's, he was for St Patrick's, and I've known him for 40 years, Spud, so he's had a big inspiration on my career.
Sure.
The great Alan Jones. While playing my only year at Balmain, AJ's speeches before training and before games would make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. In fact, sometimes he would give you a speech on Tuesday at training and you'd be ready for the game that night. Unfortunately, on Sunday when he gave the same speech, we weren't ready, so we got our ass kicked.
So inspiring, just not great with timing.
Look, I love him. He threw me a lifeline when no one else would. So as far as I'm concerned, I mightn't agree with a lot of he has to say, but I respect his opinion.
3.
Brandy Alexander. Not by what he said, but more by what he would do on the training paddock and in a game that made you want to be a better player. He lifted the levels so high that you wanted to get close to his ability, even though it was impossible. But his ethic on the field, trying to win a football game, there was no player I played with who tried to win a rugby league game as much as he did.
2.
Chris Louis Mortimer. When he and Peter Kelly came to the Panthers in the late 80s from the all-conquering Bulldogs, his toughness and work ethic were like nothing we'd seen at the foot of the mountains. And I think when they bought Peter Kelly and Chris Mortimer to Penrith in 1988, that was the start of our premiership window opening. And I think, 2 years later we made a grand final, and ironically, 3 years later we won one. So I think, Chris Mortimer, some of the stuff he would say to you before a game, you'd know that when Chris Mortimer was in your team that no team was going to go over you.
Spud Carroll at 5, Alan Jones at 4, Brandy Alexander at 3, Chris Mortimer at 2. This is a fair old list, but we have arrived at the most inspirational person throughout Mark Guy's storied career.
1.
The great Gus Gould. Quite simply the best motivator of men I have ever come across. His one-on-ones with me before games had me ready to basically do anything so that I would win for him. He was only a young coach, I think he won his first competition with the Dogs in 1988 at age 28. He was 31 or 32 with us when we won in 1991. So I think the fact that he was younger as a coach kind of inspired us to be better, because we knew that he was, his finger on the pulse was only just recently removed from the game. So, but yeah, some of the stuff he would say to you, he was a learned man. He is a learned man. So he'd quote stuff from books that you go, yep, that's profound. And I'd go, wow. And bit of Phil Jackson in, Gus.
He quotes stuff from books.
Yeah. I think it was from books. Or he might have made it up himself.
Boys, get around me. Boys, you like green eggs and ham?
No, he said, once he said they can take penalty, they cannot take our freedom.
No, he didn't.
No.
He did not.
I'm joking. No, he was an intimidating coach. But he was also a guy who would get the message across quite simply of what to do to win a rugby league game.
I love it. That is a very strong power rankings today. The most inspirational people involved in MG's career. Thank you to Justin Langer for inspiring MG to do that power rankings list with your...
Thanks for connecting on LinkedIn, JL.
Is that what you do on LinkedIn? You connect, do you? You don't have friends, mate, or followers,
yeah,
you connect.
You connect.
All right. Well, let's connect later, JL.
We connect.
MG, footy's done. Cricket's on its way. But we are smack bang in Spring Carnival racing.
Oh.
It kicked off over the weekend, and then this weekend it gets real serious because it is the fifth ever running of the Everest at Royal Randwick.
Yeah, it is. And what a way to celebrate freedom than having 10,000 Sydney siders, who, by the way, absolutely need something like this right now, all heading to Randwick for the country's richest race. And when we speak about racing, we speak about racing royalty, and one of the best in the country, ex-teammate of mine on the grill team, and now kicking ass with Tab and Channel 7, our very own Freo. Emma Friedman.
G'day, Freo.
Hello, sister.
Liam, I missed you, MG. You know, I ran into you the other day in the office with our masks on, I must admit. But I miss seeing your glorious face every morning.
It's hard when we can't cuddle, because you know I'm good for cuddles.
I know, and you're good at them too.
Freo, this weekend, the Everest, this race that has become a landmark on the Australian racing calendar, the fifth time it's ever been run. Will you be at Royal Randwick?
I will. I'll be hosting the coverage for Channel 7. Which we've done for the last couple of weeks by the mounting yard. And it's been weird because, you know, you look out the booth window and there's been no one there. Whereas this weekend, we're going to look out the back and there's going to be 10,000 people there, which is just crazy to think how far we've come in only a week. And I reckon you put it perfectly, MG. It's, you know, the world's richest race on turf and a real celebration of these iconic sprinters. But also, it's a celebration of our freedom come Saturday. And I have no doubt they'll get that full 10,000.
Well, last year, was it last year or the year before? But last 2 years, we've spoken here before the Melbourne Cup. You've tipped us into the first four.
Yes.
In both occasions. This is the 12 best horses are basically over 1,200 metres that are basically five or six lengths in form from each other. So it's the who's who of the racing. It's really hard to put some odds on these type of horses. But who do you like? Who's a surprise? Who will be a surprise pack in the field? And who's maybe who's the trainer and jockey to watch?
Yeah, well, in terms of the surprise, I think for me it's that Classique Legend is the favourite. So he was the winner last year, and he does admittedly like the soft ground, which we're definitely going to get on Saturday, considering we're due for another 20 or 30 mils of rain tomorrow. But he hasn't raced since December last year. That was in Hong Kong. That campaign didn't go to plan. He bled. He's had a couple of trials since then, and he's still instilled as favourite, which I find a little bit perplexing. I think... his trainer also finds that, you know, a little bit strange as well. But for me, the horse that I actually do want to win, and I think I've been a knocking him from time to time. Oh, sorry, that's my daughter.
Hello, Edie.
Happy birthday as well, Edie.
Happy birthday to Edie.
First birthday, and she's getting excited. I think the horse that I'll be gunning for, and I have had a knock at him in the past. I thought he was a little bit of a pretender here and there, but now I think we're all under the impression that Nature Strip, he is an out-and-out superstar, and I think he's let punters down in some points of his career. He hasn't won an Everest, but I think that he could be up for a big win come Saturday. I think he's just due. I think in terms of the gate, it's not ideal for him, but they're doing a couple of different things with Nature Strip this weekend. They're using what they call a barrier extender. So basically, it's a piece of equipment that extends the barrier. He's so long that he barely fits in the gates, and as a result can get a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit sweaty and just not feel his best when he's waiting for the gates to pop open. So,
sounds like MG in the dressing sheds before a game.
I'm a little bit better. Hey, guys, can you widen this
my exactly seat for right. me? Yeah. So I feel, you know, he's a superstar. He's won so many group ones and millions of dollars worth of prize money. And I feel that it could be his race to win. The other really fascinating one is Geetra for Gordon yes. Richards. Now, he's the guy who lives in a caravan. He calls himself a grey nomad. And he's going to saddle up Geetra, who is also one of the country's best sprinters at the moment, been going absolute great guns. So for a bit of odds, I mean, you're not going to get huge odds for Geetra and Nature Strip. They're both on the second or third line of betting, as is Masked Crusader, who's winning the Premier 2 weeks ago was really, really top-notch. So I don't think there's going to be a surprise from the bottom of the market. I reckon it's one of those three, but you're right. It's a crack field. It's the best sprinters in the country going head-to-head for $15 million, as well as the trophy, which is worth $625,000. Oh. It's the richest trophy in world sport that the winner gets to take home.
Well, you mentioned Nature Strip, and I'm a kind of a jockey slash trainer type of guy, and he ticks both my boxes with Waller training and McDonald, who was steering, and I like, yeah, Geetra as well. I'm also a bit of a fan of Home Affairs, which has got Glenn Boss on it. And who are the horses that will suit the running most in this? Who are the top three horses, mud runners in this race?
Probably the best two are Embracer, who is the Gay Waterhouse trained runner yeah. who only got given a slot yesterday via James Kennedy. So poor James, he'd actually locked in Rothfire to be his runner, but then Rothfire ran an absolute doozy 2 weeks ago and they said, nah, he's done. We can't have him race. So Embrace is probably the smoky in terms of the weather, and then Classic Legend, to be honest. Last year it was wet and muddy and feral and he got it done. So if you're looking for wet trackers, I reckon those are your two best. Having said that, it's an Everest, and I think we've learnt that anything can really happen yeah. in these dashes for cashes. I mean, Red Zell won it twice. Who would have thought that Red Zell would win two Everests? And then, yes, you know, he was a colt and he did great things for Coolmore. And then, as I mentioned, Classic Legend last year. And I just find it still staggering still that Kieran McAvoy has won three of the last four Everests as the Hoop on board. So
unbelievable.
Whoever walks away with the winner, you know, as the winner of the Everest on Saturday, geez, they've got a nice bit of cash in their back pocket after a
If anybody out there was thinking that Emma Freedman doesn't do her research before a race, she has just walked us through the ins and outs of this race to absolute perfection. And Freo, there's pressure on you here because, as MG mentioned, you've tipped us into the Melbourne Cup first four the last couple of years. So let's see if you can carry that form over to the Everest. You can catch Emma Freedman on Channel 7's coverage of the race this Saturday. Royal Randwick going to be an absolute belter. Freo, we might have to get you back on in a couple of weeks when the Spring Carnival heads to Rose Hill for the Golden Eagle.
Absolutely. I'd love to join you boys. And yeah, hopefully we can find a few winners. The last two weekends have been a little bit barren for me on that front. So I'm hoping that my form improves as well.
You're due. Exactly. All right, Emma Freeman, always a pleasure to have you on. Happy birthday again to your little one, Edie.
She's crawling down the corridor. Hi, Bubba. Happy birthday.
Oh, God, love her.
Thanks, Freo.
Thanks, guys.
We got to get out of here. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to keep talking about the Everest because we've got the boss of New South Wales Racing, who happens to just be the boss of rugby league as well, Peter Vallandi's on the show.
Yeah, future Prime Minister of Australia joining us tomorrow. So don't you touch that dial because we'll be back. And as always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.